News on Demand. 700WLW.com.
It's Sloney, the big one, 700 WLW, freshly back from Matthew 25 Ministries, just down the road. I'm Kenwood and Blue Ash. And tell you what, we'll get into this a little bit later on, but Tim Matty, Wendell Matty, they run a heck of an operation over there. Let me tell you what, this is maybe the third or fourth time I've been over there, and it's always impressive, especially when the world's attention focused on Haiti right now and the scores of volunteers that were there from not only 700 WLW, but the Reds, the Bengals, the Cincinnati Cyclones, and just regular, ordinary, average people like me are over there sorting through stuff. And probably 11 billion pounds is what we wound up collecting just today alone. It's all for Haitian earthquake relief, and there's more information on that on the webpage at 700WLW.com. So I was doing a little physical labor today, which is good. Which is great. Later on tonight, I believe at 10:06, it's Shelley Palmer to talk about the Apple tablet, which is coming out tomorrow, and also the news that AT&T's exclusivity agreement with Apple and the iPhone, may be coming to an end shortly. So, Apple tablet is probably I think the most highly anticipated device, maybe since the iPod itself. And not only that, when you get Steve Jobs saying that this is a game changer, that this thing coming out tomorrow is going to change the way we communicate, generally he's not one of those guys that's like a Bill Gates kind of Microsoft, marketing in your face kind of. So when he says something like that, a lot of people in the industry pay attention to it. So you got that going on tonight, more on the steak knife murder, the worst job in the United States of America, and new information on texting and driving bans. A little bit later on in the show. First, though, I've got not just one, but two guests on. Two guests that share the same last name. Tonight on The Big One, it's Drs. John and Susan Mendelson on 700 WLW. Dr. John, Dr. Susan, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. I picked up and talked to Dr. John, Dr. Susan. I just got in. I apologize. I did not have an opportunity to say hi. But you know the last name Mendelson because Dr. John is... probably the number one cosmetic surgeon in the area, but his sister, Dr. Susan Mendelson, the more attractive of the two, is the, and not because of the work of the brother, just naturally, of course, is also has stuff to do involving your brain. So you guys, together, pretty much have cornered the market on the practice of medicine in the Cincinnati area.
We have.
Very good. All right. You're on tonight to talk about the Heidi Montag thing. I've had pictures of her on my blog. Here's the backstory on Heidi Montag from a TV show called The Hills. Very attractive young lady already. She's 23 years old. She has come out and said she's just had 10 cosmetic surgery procedures done in one day. Dr. John Mendelson, have you ever performed 10 procedures on one person in the same day?
Well, I can't say that I have. However, I don't know what they're including as the procedures. As I was preparing for tonight, I saw that there was some question as to whether or not being treated with a site of Botox or two sites of Botox constituted, one or two procedures. Similarly, apparently, her breast implants, whether or not she's counting that as two procedures or one. So I'm a little bit unclear with the story, but to answer your question, no, that's typically not what we do. However, it's very common for patients to undergo multiple procedures. We're talking about surgery now at the same time. For example, an upper and lower eyelid procedure, and maybe a facelifting procedure, those sorts of things.
That would make sense. I mean, you're in for the procedure. Some procedures anyway, they may not be related. They're in the facial region. But, as long as you're doing it, you might as well. It's kind of not like knee replacement where it makes sense to let one heal before you do the other one. You're there anyway. You might as well get it done.
Right,
in that regard. Let's, Dr. Susie Mendelson, you're a clinical psychologist. You write for eDiets. You're a best-selling author. When you hear these things, these women, they want to get 10 procedures done. I've kind of noticed this. I've noticed that and men do it too, but largely women that go see Dr. John or anybody else, largely they have a procedure done, and it's not long thereafter they have another one done. What does that say about them?
Well, there are two ways to look at it. If somebody wants to have a procedure done, there's really not a problem with having a procedure done if they're, you know, internally healthy and they actually just want to enhance their looks. If, you know, I think it really depends on what their goal is. If they think that their entire life is going to change because they're enhancing their appearance, then they better think twice about it. In Heidi Montag's case, you know, she's somebody who thinks that, well, I think it's a sad case of affairs actually for our country, first of all. You know, I think that if people think, you know, oh, well, my husband's going to stay with me because if I get a breast enhancement, or my husband's going to stay with me and my whole life is going to change if I have 10 procedures, I think that they better rethink that. If they think that their entire world is really going to be enhanced and you know, they really need to undergo a lot of psychological counseling first. I think that there's no problem with having any procedure if they are already feeling good from the inside out. And I know that my brother really does take that into account. If he feels that somebody may have, you know, I specialize in eating disorders, and a lot of that, you know, that become extreme, they want a quick fix. And there is really no quick fix. So there's a very fine line between somebody that might have body dysmorphic disorder. Those people will actually become very angry with their plastic surgeon, and they'll get repeated, you know, they'll want repeated surgeries and things like that. And that's a real severe mental illness.
That's good you mentioned, because you mentioned initially it's a sad reflection of America. And I thought this is going to be pretty good because you know what your brother does for a living. And it sounded like, you know, you're saying, well, you're maybe down on cosmetic surgeons. I thought maybe this is why you guys aren't in the studio together, because it'd be like turning into the Jerry Springer show.
Actually, we enhance each other's, you know, we enhance each other's practices, because I'll send patients there after they're, you know, I work with very serious illnesses, but my patients don't ask me, hey, send me to your brother.
Yeah.
They're not asking for that. They want to heal from the inside. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with having a nip or a tuck there, here or there. But if the purpose for them going to do that is for a quick fix and they don't think that they need any internal work done, then my brother understands that, you know. John really does understand that, and he's a very ethical surgeon, and he's not going to, you know, complete that surgery because, you know, well, first of all, there's a lot of lawsuits involved.
Right. Well, but
anybody with body dysmorphia.
You know, let me add a two-part question here. First of all, Dr. John, do you think people who would consider plastic surgery, what percentage do you think should also be referred on a psychological consult?
Well, it depends what you mean by psychological. People who aren't candidates for the procedures that we perform, frankly, the people that we see in Cincinnati, in the Midwest, and probably around the country, with the exception of maybe the coast, California, South Florida, overall, people are like you, like, you know, typical person who's got a job, who may have a bump on their nose, they may have a mole that they're tired of seeing. They want to look more refreshed, and so I think the percentage of people requiring severe psychological counseling for body dysmorphic is very low, quite frankly. And I think what we see, and what we're even talking about tonight, is the exception. And we're talking about, you know, the media and Heidi Montag, who apparently is somebody who really thrives in that environment. So most people are very psychologically sound and are good candidates for the types of things that we do.
Now, so a very small percentage have the body dysmorphic disorder that we're talking about. You know, I saw the Heidi Montag interview, and I thought, well, here's someone who's, I mean, she's 23. How many things could you have wrong with you if you're Heidi Montag and you're 23 years old? Probably not too many, let alone to warrant 10 procedures in one day. But then she gave a pretty good response. She said, listen, I'm in the show business profession. I'm in the business, and let's face it, it's very shallow. It's based largely on looks and a lot less on talent. And if I want to compete in this realm, I have to stay up with the Britney Spears of the world. And you know what? I said that, and I thought, well, yeah, it's a sad reflection of America, but she understands the game. And in that regard, do you think then she has maybe some sort of problem?
Well, first of all, like I said, and you said again, it's a sad state of affair for our country. But at the same time, I think the biggest problem, because I discussed this with my girls in my group therapy tonight, my eating disorder group, I think that what really was sad, because a lot of my girls saw that interview, and What was sad is that she said something about beauty from the inside. And if she's going to say that, and if she's going to promote herself in this realm of Hollywood, she's putting herself out there to be a role model. And that's, unfortunately, just the platform that they end up on if they're trying to get out there and promote themselves as a singer or an actress or whatever the heck she's trying to become. And if she's going to talk about beauty from the inside, then she's being very incongruent by doing all of this to herself. If you're going to talk about loving yourself from the inside, which she literally said,
yeah,
then
I agree, but
she's not walking the walk.
Dr. Susie, there, I don't take her as being literal. I think this is her game, and this is her platform. And so I think she's, I would agree with you. I think it's the environment in which we're in that we base things on. And
yes, it's a sad state of affairs.
But I think she's obsessed with it. I think she's you know, a bit overboard with what's going on. But I too saw that interview, and you know what? It seemed pretty, you know, reasonable given what she's doing. And again, I'm skeptical as to what they're counting. I saw the interview by the plastic surgeon, and, you know, he too said that, you know, it looked like they were counting all these things as multiple procedures. And so I think it's a big
little PR move, maybe.
Yeah, and I think you probably got.
Well, guess what? It worked because we're talking about it, aren't we?
You got it.
Well, and that's the thing. She's, you know, part of that interview, she was talking about, you know, she'd rather not work at her parents' restaurant. She will do anything it takes to make money, and so she's just. You know, and she's doing it. She's doing anything it takes. She just wants to be a nobody that will do anything it takes to make money. And she's doing exactly what she's setting out to do. We're talking about her, and so is the nation. She's got, you know, there are a million websites about her. There's blogs. There's Twitter. There's, you know, everything. So, you know, she's doing what she wants to do. And, you know, anybody can make money these days. And if she wants to go under the knife. And, you know, what John said is true. A lot of those procedures were non-invasive procedures.
And we're talking about like a collagen injection or two, something like that?
Yeah, it looks like they transferred some fat.
A little Botox.
Bigger breasts. She wants to go under the knife again for bigger breasts. She already has triple D.
Really?
Yeah.
How big is too big?
That's a judgment. I'd probably say that's too big. But
that's too big. What is there a size limit on? Because I guess it's up to your skeletal structure and muscle and skin. Obviously, skin stretches. But is there an upper limit to the size breast implant you could have?
Well, I mean, at some point there's an upper limit. You know, I'm not sure.
Have we hit that upper limit yet?
Well, I think in terms of looking ridiculous in certain you know. Certain clothes or whatever, I think we've probably reached it. But physically, could you go larger? You probably could.
Could. Do you? If someone comes in, a woman comes in, I'm sure you've had this before, Dr. John Mendelson, and she says, "I want, I don't know, 50 triple E's." You obviously will try to talk her out of something like that, saying it's not going to look good on you.
Yeah. Well, to be more serious for a sec, I think that what was pointed out earlier is looking at the relationship that somebody's in, the reason why they're doing it, their general overall psychological health, whether or not they're happy or not. And, you know, and one thing I did see in the interview with Heidi was, you know, she said she felt happy. It wasn't, at least, you know, I'm only getting a glimpse of this. There are many patients who are like this, who may doctor shop. You know, docs will say no, they'll go to the next doc, and they'll have a procedure done. And usually they start off never satisfied with things, but they get smart. And what happens is they realize that the right answer is, yeah, they're happy with what that doctor did. And then our question to them is, well, why would you go back to that doctor?
Right.
So there is this psychological game. And again, it's, I was talking to a patient today. I'm going to say there's maybe one patient a year that we might see like this. So this is really an exception.
Kind of rare.
Yeah,
I guess. Well, you know, I can answer that question firsthand with my wife. Why would you go back to a doctor? My wife is getting her hair done at the place for the last 7 years, and she's never happy every time she comes, and she still keeps going back. I go, well, why don't you go somewhere else? Well, that's my hair cutter. I don't know. Maybe Dr. Susie, you can shed some light on this because I haven't been able to figure out in 20 years of marriage.
Well, I know when I'm unhappy, I do switch. I love change, though, and I help my clients all. Embrace change. So
the question is if you're happy.
Are you happy? Yeah, that's what
they're. Yeah, you know, people will always just lash out at everybody when they're unhappy internally. There's a void somewhere, and that's what I help patients find. And, You know, it's interesting because when my brother does refer patients, when he realizes that there are some underlying issues, the patients will never, ever, ever schedule an appointment with me. And their biggest thing is, well, you know, I can't afford it. And I'm thinking, okay, you're going to go spend, and this is just hypothetical, I have no idea, $5,000 on a cosmetic and an invasive surgery, but you don't want to learn how to be happy. And
oh, please, your brother doesn't even turn the lights on for $5,000.
Well, that was hypothetical.
Whoever's
listening to this show, I have no idea the cost of any of the surgical procedures, but fact of the matter is, you know, they'd rather be cut open and still have some kind of misery. And I'm not saying that surgery doesn't make people happy. I'm just saying, you know, the fact of the matter is they don't want to pay for anything. They don't even want a consultation. They don't want anything. They want a quick fix. And that's the problem with our entire
society.
Yeah,
you're right. It's a quick fix culture.
You
absolutely.
Know, it's a quick fix.
Instant gratification.
Surgery. Yeah, it's drugs, it's alcohol, it's gambling, it's sex, whatever it is. And I'm not saying that all plastic surgery is a quick fix. Like I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with it, but you know, those very few, maybe 1% or whatever, that, or once a year, whatever my brother just said, that he does send to me or to a psychologist, it's very rare. But those are very serious cases, and they will doctor shop.
How do you? Let me ask this, Dr. John Mendelson, Dr. Susie Mendelson, tonight on the Big 1-700 WLW. Kind of running late here. I'm trying to maybe squeeze another question or two in for you. I've heard that before, and of course, this is not exclusive to the cosmetic surgery industry. But somebody goes doctor shopping, and doctors, why do they always find a surgery despite most surgeons turning them down? I mean, what is that? That probably says more about the surgeon than the patient. And shouldn't the board, shouldn't the industry be more, regimented in policing
that? Yeah, you actually do have a good point there. Unfortunately, there are always a few docs who are in it for purely financial remuneration. And you know what? I don't know what to say about that. I think it's like all industries, and I think it's buyer beware, and I think patients need to do their research. I think they need to ask questions. They need to talk to other patients that doctors operated on, and I think most reasonable people then can make a good judgment about a doctor's
care. Well, I mean, you got Michael Jackson, you got Jocelyn Wildenstein, a whole bunch of others that look hideous, and there's no shortage of surgeons willing to operate on those people.
But you know what? Also, I will say another way to look at it is a patient, if they've been turned down, say, by my brother, and then they've been turned down by the next one, they actually may smarten up. They also may then be very guarded and go in there with a more, you know, guarded attitude and just say what they're supposed to say. And the doctor, you know, so, you know, we really, as doctors and as physicians and whatever, we are only as good as the information the patient relays to us. So it's not always a financial,
that makes sense.
You know, so it works both ways.
All right, Dr. John Mendelson, Dr. Susie Mendelson, 351-FACE for Dr. John, 391-MIND for Dr. Susan. I'll make sure I get you linked up on my page, too, at 700WLW.com with those Heidi Montag pictures and also a link to this, the 10 most hideous plastic surgery disasters of all time, none of which have come from Cincinnati, so that's good news.
Well, Scott, I've got to get ready for my sister's procedure in the morning, all right?
Okay, that is an outline.
That was a shot. Now, next time we got to have you guys in studio so you can fight on the air, and I'll have mud and chairs you can hit each other
with.
Outstanding.
Them ready.
That was outstanding.
All day long.
All right,
anyway, thank you, Scott.
Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank
we're getting a break and more ahead. News about 6-7 minutes away. Scott Sloan till midnight. 700 WLW.
The government denies that snow poses a threat to our way of life, but we know better. Be on guard. Listen at the top of the hour and 30 minutes past each hour for the latest forecast on 700 WLW, your official weather station.
Now you can get a 30% tax credit with a geothermal heat pump system.